Well, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, January 31st, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunathchish, Hawa, Kuxik Newsom, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, we chat with Dave Emmert from the syndicated music radio show Alaska's Fresh Catch. He's in town for a taping during tomorrow night's Behind the Music at Devil's Club Brewing with local musicians Radiophonic Jazz and Anne Mahan. We preview this year's Northwoods Writers Symposium with organizer Jeff Brady and how you can participate and join author and keynote speaker Eowyn Ivey and other authors like Mark Cameron, Bailey Williams, and more. And Juno Pools, in partnership with Aukman, is dialing up Diamond Dash, a spring triathlon happening at the end of April. We learn how you can participate and how to get registered for this springtime event. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. But first, this week's Tlingit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kahuan Ish George Davis. The word this week is gooch.
Gooch.
That means wolf. And here's a sentence.
Gooch. Kekawakach.
The wolf howled. Let's hear it again.
Gooch.
Wolf. Gunas Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish George Davis was Akhtane Tan and the child of a Tsagwedi man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTIO.
These waves I don't wanna be in. I don't think I like this movie. I don't think I wanna be here. I didn't ask to be the main character in this movie that I don't wanna be in. I don't think I like this movie. 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 This
you are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juneau Akbay and online at ktoo.org. That was the end of a performance that Anne Mahan did in studio last year from a song called This Movie, playing around with her electric guitar there at the end, which I just love. And our next guest will be interviewing and talking with Anne Mahan as she performs tomorrow night. Alaska's Fresh Catch is a weekly radio program that airs on 9 stations statewide, including our very own KRNN, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. It's hosted by Dave Emmert and showcases new music, highlights statewide Alaskan artists, and interviews all around the music world. Joining us now is Dave Emmert in for this weekend event. You're here for a bunch of stuff. You're in town for the Alaska Music Summit, which we highlighted last week on the show, which takes place tomorrow during the day. And then in the evening, Dave will be hosting and recording Behind the Music, a special music program with some local musicians, Radiophonic Jazz, and Anne Mahan. Gunnath Chisha Igudu, thank you so much for coming. It's a pleasure to meet you, Dave. Vasa Iti, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So you just flew in today. Glad the weather didn't get you. So that's good. So let's first talk about the show that everybody hears each week here on KRNN, our sister station. We have 3 stations here at KTOO. So Alaska's Fresh Catch. How did you get that started? And what is that show?
Yeah. You know, I was in Sitka working at KCAW. And, you know, in that I was just seeing what kind of programming was out there to serve the community. Because, you know, you want to bring something of value to your community as a radio programmer, at least in my opinion. And what I was missing was both, you know, cutting edge new music, but also I kept hearing all these, I kept getting all these wonderful tips like, oh, have you heard of this Alaskan artist or this one or this one? And I said, no, I didn't. I haven't. And so, you know, I said, how about we put both of these together? Let's get Alaska on the cutting edge of music and let's share some of these tremendous artists across this great state each and every week. And so I just kind of started it slowly back in 2023, and it's been growing and been having a lot of fun.
How was it to get that show started?
Well, you know, it was a labor of love.
Yeah.
It still is, certainly. But, you know, thankfully through my time in Sitka with KCAW, and then when I started the show, I was up in Anchorage working with KNBA up there. And so I was able to just talk directly to these programmers and say, hey, is this something you'd want?
Mm.
And the answer was yes. And so it was, I was able to kind of take some baby steps and get to know some of the, you know, the big players in this Alaskan music scene and start to do my own research and educate myself in that capacity. And, you know, I just kept showing up and people kept listening. And, you know, the show just seems to have value for a lot of different Alaskan communities that want to hear not only some of the tremendous artists in their town, but from, you know, across the state, you know.
Yeah, and you also play some national music, like new music that might come into play. But then you're also taking each week, you have an interview, and then you highlight different other new music that might be coming out or people that are putting out music in different parts of the state. And I'm just curious, like, do you find, how do you keep in touch with with the scene? How do you keep in touch with the scene?
You know, it's a lot of independent research, but it's through all of my interviews, I just try and say, hey, you know, I appreciate your time, but if you have any friends, you know, if there's anyone that you co-sign, you know, please send them my way, because the point of the show is to use the medium to, you know, get across these giant physical limitations that we have. You can't, you know, necessarily jump in a van and drive to the next town all the time. So, you know, through the power of radio, I want to be able to share people from Fairbanks or from Nome or from Juneau, Sitka, all over the place. So it's just, you know, using the medium and asking and saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here.
And I'm sure as the show goes on, people start reaching out to you and saying, hey, I'd love to be on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm imagining that you have many hot takes on the Alaskan music scene. Our state, like you said, is so vast. Do you find like that there's different sounds in different communities? What are you hearing when you're researching and hearing all this music?
You know, unfortunately, no hot takes per se, but what I've really enjoyed is kind of digging into the sonic identity of an area at that time. You know, obviously, a town's musical artists can change and the vibe can change, all sorts of things can change, but to be able to take a snapshot and to listen to what's happening in a region at that time is just so special. And so it's been really nice to, you know, when I'm exploring the Juneau and Southeast community, to kind of dig into some of the rootsier, folkier side of things down here. Of course, there's some really great hip-hop artists as well, like Radiophonic Jazz. And, you know, I find more metal, maybe in South Central a little bit, more bluegrass the farther you go north and east. But it's constantly changing. It's constantly evolving. So I have to pay attention. But I love it. It's music discovery each and every day.
Is there anything that you focus the show on specifically music-wise, or is it really open to any music that you're finding in Alaska that people are making?
Sure. You know, it tends to be, I want to try and present a cohesive show. So, you know, if that means that I have a lot of folk music or folk or Americana based, I might try and go that direction. So it tends to be, historically, it tends to be things that are guitar based, maybe electronic based. You know, I don't, with the show airing on 9 stations, that's a lot of different audiences to take into account. And that also means the show plays at different times during the week and during the day. So I don't necessarily want to bring some really heavy metal to KCAW at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday. You know, it might work out in Nome on a Friday night. But so I try and keep things, I won't say middle of the road, but palatable for a general audience.
Yeah. And what have you discovered about the music scene over the last few years that you've been doing the show, in terms of growth or differences or changes? What have you started to notice?
You know, that's a great question. I have noticed, and I really admire the tenacity of Alaskan artists. You know, a lot of folks that are incredibly talented, who just do what they do and they love it. And it's not about fame or notoriety or money or whatever. It's they're creating for the love of creating, and they're sharing for the love of the game. And I just think that is tremendous. And it's such a supportive community as well. So, you know, again, that's what I try and do with the show is connect these disparate creative communities together in my own little way, or at least give people a glimpse.
Yeah, tenacity is a good word, I think, for it, because especially in the smaller communities, the effort to keep going and to make it happen. And here in Juneau, what's been really wonderful to watch is how many people are creating work and making albums and really sort of getting it down on vinyl or whatever it is, and getting themselves up on, you know, the digital services, and they're creating new songs and new work, not just cover bands, you know. I mean, we have those too, but like there's people who are really just creating, and I'm always amazed at it. I love when like Anne Mahan comes in here and plugs in her electric guitar and just sort of starts looping and going wild, like you heard at the end of that song there. And I just think that's so, there's just something so cool about it. And of course, we have the Folk Festival every year, which creates a ton of music during that month of April. But just all year round, we've been really lucky to have such a wide and varied, you know, genres of music in this town, which is cool. So I wanted to ask you, what's the most impossibly good time you've had making the show, Fresh Catch?
You know, I happened to catch an Anchorage band, Sundog. They were on a little tour of the Northwest. I caught them in a small little club in Seattle. And, you know, it was just a rocking great time. Those guys really wail. And it was just really nice to see them in their elements, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll actually be in town next week. They're coming here for a festival that they're going to have here. And the Rain Dogs will be part of that, which Anne Mahan is the lead singer for. And we'll have some information on that next week on the show, which is kind of cool. Okay, so also, where or what would you like to do next, either with the show or with some other show?
I'd like to continue, obviously, but I think in a short term, I'd love to get the show airing in Fairbanks. I want to be able to get the trifecta of the, you know, the three big cities and be able to kind of fill in the gaps in between. So that's kind of the short term goal, is to be able to share all this great music farther north.
I love that.
So that's the goal right now, I think.
Just yeah, that's cool.
Keep it going.
And do you find that doing a weekly show is a grind, or are you able to create content far enough in advance?
You know, to be honest with you, it can be a grind.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're dealing with new music, I'm checking those new releases every single week. And, you know, there's an expiration to some degree, but you know, I just need to stay on it. So it is hard to pre-produce too far in advance. And so that means that whether I'm traveling or I'm overseas or I have COVID or whatever, that means the show has to come out.
Right.
So, you know, like so many folks, I'm a one-man band in that capacity. So
I feel you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is interesting, though, because pre-recorded shows are a little bit different. Here, I'm live, so if I'm making mistakes or if things happen, we just move on, right? But I know with a recorded show, you have to record it, and then you have to edit it, and you've got to fit the music and the time in and all that. How many hours a week do you think you put into making that 1 hour of content?
Sure.
And I'm looking at your partner who's in the studio with us in the background, and she's like, how many – she's checking your answer here.
Yeah. I have to give away a big chunk of my Sundays. I'd say somewhere between 4 to 6 hours, depending on how much editing I need to do for that week's interview.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because the show – the structure of the show is – you have an interview, which is usually, is it depend on range in terms of, but is it like 10 to 20 minutes of the hour is usually about what that interview is?
Yeah. 10 to 15. Yeah. Maybe 20 if I'm featuring a song.
And then you have music that you're playing throughout the show, highlighting different artists from Alaska or different artists from nationwide that might have new music coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, initially I wanted to do a whole show weekly of just Alaskan music, but there's a finite amount of brand new stuff,
yeah.
You know, so I realized that it would be more sustainable to sprinkle it in and be able to feature different artists and releases as opposed to, you know, just really wringing that or, you know, running that well dry and then.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel you on that. We do a series here on Juno Afternoon called Songwriters on Songwriters, where I invite two songwriters to come in. One's the featured, and then the other one is the interviewer. I step back from the mic, and they just I just let them sort of geek out about music and talk about chord progression
yeah.
or whatever it is, right? And so we've done, I think, three or four of those, four or five. It's like one every quarter about, because I do find that it's difficult, right? It's a lot of extra work, because especially if it's a group who needs to come in and set up, or like I had one guy who, you know, he had a whole system. He did a lot of pre-recorded stuff, but then he had live singers in here and Mike Moss, which
yeah,
and the Blue Lagoon.
He's been on the show, yeah.
Yeah, and it's fantastic music, and it was so fun to have him come in and set all that up and be there. And I think Marion Call was the person who interviewed him, which was really cool. So we're just sort of banding about all those people. We've got a whole lineup coming for those later. So it's nice that there's another show out there, another way for people to access, you know, Alaskan music in that way. Thursday nights, KRNN, you can listen to Alaska's Fresh Catch. And where can you listen to it if you miss it on KRNN? Are we able to find some of the interviews at least? Because I know sometimes with podcasting, music gets a little weird. So, but do you put the actual interview up somewhere?
Yeah. There's an Alaska's Fresh Catch interview archive that is up on SoundCloud with a selection. It's not the entire archive yet, but yeah, that's where you can find some of our past interviews.
So SoundCloud is the place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a website overall that you have for Alaska's Fresh Catch, or where do we follow it? Is it Instagram? Is it?
Yeah, you know, Instagram and Facebook are probably two of the most accessible avenues, of course. And you can check out a few more archives on my related page, championshipindustries.com.
Championshipindustries.com. And I noticed on there you have some other interviews and different things on there that you've highlighted. Because you also do other things. You do some audio production and various different things that keep you busy. So I want to talk about a little bit about the summit that's happening tomorrow, just quickly, and then we'll talk about the Behind the Music event.
Sure.
So what is your role at the summit tomorrow?
Tomorrow, it's kind of twofold. I'm going to be part of a radio panel, just being able to answer questions for artists from a radio perspective. How can you make it easier to get yourself on air, essentially? Just kind of pulling that curtain back and saying, hey, I can see the other side of this. Let me answer your question. So I'm part of that panel, but of course, I'm here to network too. With a show that's statewide, it's hard to get to every place and actually get to meet the people. So part of this is just, you know, putting faces to names and shaking hands and making new friends and hopefully finding some new artists to play.
I love that. And like I said, we highlighted the Alaska Music Summit on the show last week. You can find out more about tomorrow's summit. It's really for everybody. It's not just musicians. It's for creators. It's for presenters. It's for all kinds of people who are involved in the music scene. Marion Call puts it pretty eloquently about how all of the people who do music in any capacity, whether you're a piano teacher or whatever, you're all connected. And so you can find out more about that happening tomorrow at alaskamusicsummit.com. And then tomorrow night, after the summit is over, this is what you're really also here for, which is you're going to create a show for Alaska's Fresh Catch out of this Behind the Music adventure tomorrow. It's happening at Devil's Club Brewing. You can go to devilsclubbrewing.com/events to find out more about how to get tickets for that. But it's like, tell me what it's going to be, because I know it's music and interview. What's the format going to be?
Well, you know, it's you said it right there, music and interviews. So we're going to hear one of our featured artists. We have Ann Mahan and we have Radiophonic Jazz both playing sets. And in between those sets, I'm going to be sitting down and chatting with them and just helping to... share a little bit of a deeper insight onto who they are as an artist and how they became the unique artist that they are, just in a live format. So it's what I would normally be doing for the show, but just actually in front of people.
I see. Okay. So it's going to be so have you done that before? Have you done like a live atmosphere kind of recording like that? Or do you usually typically interview your folks on the phone or on Zoom or whatnot?
For this program, I typically do it over the phone or over Zoom. So this will be the first time for Alaska's Fresh Catch that we're doing some live interviews. But it's not the first time that I've done live interviews.
Right. Okay. I see. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of cool, though. And so I'm just curious for myself, too, you're going to give me some help here in terms of how do you prepare for your music interviews?
You know, it starts with listening, right? I find all the available music I can, and I just hit play. And while that's happening, I start digging. I look at the little bios. I look for little clues and liner notes if available. I'll search through old events just to try and get a handle of, you know, who these people are and what band members they might be currently playing with, if they're still active. But it just goes from there. Through listening to that music, you know, a lot of questions pop up. It's like, so in this song, you know, tell me the story behind this. You know, you can tell, obviously, that some artists are telling something very personal and very heavy sometimes through their music. And it's about finding that and trying to figure out how to get them to open up and to chat about it a little bit as well. So,
doing the research, basically, yeah, finding little tidbits, because you're focusing on the music mostly, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I find that pretty cool. The idea of what I'm always interested in when I'm talking to musicians or artists or really anybody, I'm always interested in, like, where did the seed start? Like, mm-hmm. Where did it start for you? Like, how did you – like, I had somebody recently, and they started doing stuff at, like, 3 or 4 years old. And then they're still doing it,
yeah.
Like, you know, 40 years later or whatever. And I'm so amazed by that in terms of how that begins, like, that root of – the beginning of your journey as an artist. I think that's really cool. And then, but then also, yeah, the story of a song, like how do you get there? And I'm also just curious about how do you actually do it? How do you actually sit down and write a song? Like,
yeah.
it's so foreign to me that I'm jealous, really, because I can put together like 3 chords, but that's about it. I don't know how to then do any progression or anything else or put words to it, because then it becomes too sentimental or it's not, you know, it's just, it's too insane. I'm just happy that they're doing it. So mm-hmm. I love that. That's really cool. So that's awesome. The songwriting process and Alaska's Fresh Catch. Dave will be at tomorrow's Behind the Music event, which is going to be at Devil's Club Brewing. You can find more at devilsclubbrewing.com/events. It's going to be featuring Radiophonic Jazz and Anne Mahan, who we heard at the top. And if you want to find out more, he'll also be at the Alaska Music Summit tomorrow at alaskamusicsummit.com. And you can also find Fresh Catch on Instagram at AKFreshCatch, or you can go to Dave's website, championshipindustries.com. Dave, it was a pleasure to meet you. I love your show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're in Juneau. I'm glad you're able to be part of these events this weekend, and we look forward to hearing the recorded version of whatever is going to happen tomorrow night, which I think will be cool. So, Gwyneth Cheese for being here.
Thank you, Boston.
Yeah, we're gonna go out and listen to a little bit of a radiophonic jazz song called Catamaran.
We're gonna give to that land, and we're gonna give back to that land.
Oh, yes, sir.
More than it gave before.
Mm-hmm.
When we step upon this here catamaran.
Oh, yeah.
All aboard.
For sure.
Give back to the land. I'ma give back to the land. When I cut and stack up a grand on the catamaran. We don't need an act or a plan. You will never doubt us again. Give back to the land. I'ma give back to the land. When I cut and stack the catamaran. We don't need an act or a plan. You will never doubt us again.
Setting sail, we'll set the sails of that tale. From humpback whales, I'm flipping them at sunset still. Soul of a holy grail, soul of contact hell. We're controllers of the steel who perform black spells. Black magic men, back at your den with aphrodisiacs. Afro's really black, count those easy stacks. Cruising all throughout the cooking lit. Cookout with hood and nicklets, we about to hook and get lit. Wand expelliarmus, got them my jelly harness. Do petty larceny, up the price, selling all this. Furs and ice, under merchandise, teddy walrus. These rats are telling on us, we're just surfing tides, doing telemarkets. Been so long since I've been content. When my debts are gone, I'm leaving hell's descent. Road to Zen is keeping me afloat on deck. Even though I rock the boat again and again and I
give back to the land. I'ma give back to the land. When I can stack up a grand on the catamaran. We don't need an act or a plan. You will never doubt us again. Give back to the land. I'ma give back to the land. When I can stack up a grand on the catamaran.
This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, we look ahead to the Northwoods Writers Symposium, and organizer Jeff Brady is here to talk about it, how aspiring writers can join author and keynote speaker Eowyn Ivey and other authors like Mark Cameron, Bailey Williams, and more. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who travel to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This year's Northwoods Writers Symposium takes place May 28th through the 31st and is devoted to honing the craft of writing through panels, workshops, readings, and getting outside as well. It's really cool. It all happens in Skagway, and registration is now open at nwriters.com. So that's NWWriters with an extra S.com. And I'm joined now by Jeff Brady, who is currently, where are you, Jeff?
I'm in Skagway at the moment. How are you?
He's in Skagway, where the symposium will take place. I'm great. Gwyneth Cheese for being here today. I'm really excited to talk about Northwoods. It's a, what year is this of Northwoods?
Gonna teach to you from the traditional lands of the Hulkut here in Chicago. Yeah, this is year 15. It's hard to believe.
15?
15th annual. Well, 15th, we had a couple of years there where we were not able to have it, but
right.
This will be the 15th one. Yeah.
That's really cool. And so tell me a little bit about Northwoods as an organization. Is the Writer Symposium the main thing that Northwoods does every year?
It is. It's a standalone nonprofit, which we have a board members from Skagway, Haynes, and Juneau. And we operate through the Skagway Development Corporation with funding from the municipality here. They give us a nice grant for arts and also various other contributors. We have a lot of in-kind donations as well, like from the train, which takes us up the railroad for a little ways, up to a place where we can get out and hike and have workshops by the fire. And out at our place in Dyea at Alderworks, we have a big barbecue out there that we host. So it's gotten to be a nice community sort of mini convention, if you will. But it's been pretty popular. It was kind of the vision of our old buddy Buckwheat Donahue back in 2010, when the city asked him if there was something he'd like to try to see if it could lure more people to Skagway. And lo and behold, we're still here and doing it in his honor and those of others who've been with us over the years, like Nora Danhauer and some others.
Awesome. And what's really cool is that you gather an awesome faculty each year for it in terms of professional writers and other folks who are able to participate in this. Can you tell us a little bit about who's on the faculty this year?
Yeah, well, you mentioned A.A.1, and we've had her before here on the regular faculty, but this year we bumped her up to keynote, and she's deserving of that. And, you know, being a Pulitzer finalist back with The Snow Child back in 2013. And now she has a brand new book, which launches next week up near her home in the Palmer area. It's called Blackwoods Blue Sky. I think you're going to have her on at some point. But it kind of follows the same setting as The Snow Child and fictional Wolverine Rivers and kind of the pattern of a mythical tale drawn on a fairy tale. And in this case, Beauty and the Beast. And we're just really looking forward to having her here. And she will be leading off, in addition to her keynote address, she'll be leading off the first panel, which is titled Pathway to Publication. And her story is very unique, how an Alaskan she worked in journalism for a bit, and then she worked at the bookstore in Palmer, and then she wrote a novel, her first novel, and it became a Pulitzer finalist. It's an incredible story. And then we'll also have another Pulitzer finalist with us, and she's in poetry. Her name is D.G. Nanook Akpik. She's an indigenous writer originally from Anchorage. She now lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where she teaches at the Institute for American Indian Arts. And her book, Blood Snow, was a finalist for the 2023 Pulitzer. So it'll be kind of cool that they can share their stories. You mentioned Mark Cameron. Mark is another kind of miracle, kind of a cool story with him. He was I think he was chief deputy of the U.S. Marshal Service for years in Anchorage. And he won a contest from the estate of, space knows his name right now, Tom Clancy.
Right.
to write the next series of Jack Ryan books. And he's done seven of them so far. But he's also come up with his own Alaska character called Arliss Cutter. So he's written a number of novels, and the latest one's called Bad River.
Yeah, Bad River. Yeah, we talked to Mark last fall about Bad River, which was really fun to hear him talk about the experience of being a writer in Alaska. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's a really great guy. He came through Skagway, did a little book signing, so be great to have him back here. A couple others are Nicole Brown, who's a really well-known poet. She's from North Carolina, but she's been up here before. Eva Holland, who's out of Whitehorse, Yukon. Her book, her memoir, Nerve, The Adventures in the Science of Fear, came out about 8 or 9 years ago and was a bestseller in Canada. And she's written a lot of freelance articles in a number of outdoor adventure magazines. She's almost like a staff writer for Outside.
Mm.
But she has collected her the best of her work in a new book called No Sleep Till Fairbanks. So she'll be here. And then Andromeda Romana Lax, who lived in Anchorage for a number of years, now writing out of Vancouver Island, BC. She'll be here. She's written a number of novels. The latest is called The Deepest Lake. It's kind of a mystery surrounding a writing colony in Guatemala. It's really good. I read it when I was in Belize last winter. And last but not least, we have Bailey Williams from Juneau, who's an up-and-coming writer. I know you've had her on, and her book is Hollow, a memoir of my body in the Marines. And she's going to be leading a workshop that's probably going to have some yoga and stretching in it. Nicole's also leading a workshop on climate catastrophe and the writer's task. And we have a number of others. One thing we've learned from participants is that they want to do more writing instead of listening to panelists. So we have more of that this year than ever before.
Imagine that, right? Like writers wanting to write?
yeah, imagine that. And writers wanting to be heard. So in the past, we used to have just one session of maybe a couple hours where people would read their own stuff.
Mm.
And now we've got three of those sessions kind of spread throughout the conference. And also more one-on-one between participants and faculty as well.
Yeah, I know that the schedule, the more detailed schedule, was just launched today on the website. I gave the website earlier. It's NW Writers, and then an extra S, so two S's at the end of that, nwwriters.com. There's two W's and two S's in that website. Or you can just Google Northwoods Writers Symposium, and you will get the link for it. And the schedule went up today. It's pretty intense. It's pretty open, though, too. And I also love, and I mentioned it in the intro, Jeff, maybe you can tell us a little bit about it, in terms of getting outdoors. It's not just sitting in a room writing, but it's about connecting with the land there in Skagway. And can you tell us a little bit about that part of it?
Yeah, we do sit around the hall a lot, but we do try and get out at least once a day to do something. We have a couple of, you know, activities where people can go do things before they show, you know, before things get going, like a bike ride and things like that. But we go out to Dai for a afternoon evening thing where it'll start off with a hike, and our friend Hane Lance Twitchell, who's a professor there at UAS, he will walk people around the woods in Dai, which actually its native pronunciation is Daya in Tlingit, meaning pack trail. And he's going to walk people around show them the properties of Devil's Club and other things, just kind of connecting with the land. And then on Saturday, we go up on the train to Denver Glacier Station. There's a Forest Service cabin there with a fire pit, and we give people a number of options. You can hike up the trail toward the glacier, or you can write along part of that, or you can sit around the fire. And we do as much as we can get people, you know, get their blood flowing.
Yeah, it's a pretty packed 3 or 4 days there in Skagway. It's a wonderful time. And so I want to ask you a couple questions logistically here, Jeff. So who is this symposium for? Who should register for this?
It's really for, I would like to call us aspiring writers, not necessarily rookies, but people who've probably written a lot and just want to know how they can get better. And this is a really good way to do it. We accept only 40 people. We don't always hit that, but you know, it's good to register as soon as you can. We have 10 signed up so far. So, you know, we're a quarter of the way there. It's a great way to connect one-on-one with other published writers, hear how it worked for them. We're going to have a session about, you know, how to work with an editor. We're going to have sessions about research, getting things right, and just the life of a writer, you know, how it is to, you know, to fit writing into your life. And you know, there's a certain amount of discipline that goes with it to make sure that you're trying to write every day, write something, and then good things will happen. We've had a few people who've attended get published, so that's something we always like to say.
Yeah, and I'm sure people come from all over, and I'm assuming that once you register, if you have questions about where to stay or getting there, traveling to Skagway, and figuring all that out, that you all are available to help folks who might be registering for the event. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have all that on the website already, and when we have we work with the ferry system, Alaska Fjord Line, Alaska Seaplanes, and getting people here, and then there's. We try and fill up Skagway. I mean, there it's not quite the beginning of summer, so there's rooms available, but it does get a little tight. It's right after Memorial Day weekend, so it's but we usually fill up the town with it, even with our just 40 people.
And what's go ahead.
I said mostly it's Alaskans, and then we'll bring in maybe five or six from outside. And a few Yukoners come down too.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there a reason that it's a 40-person limit? Is it just that that's the capacity of the places that you're holding the talks and stuff?
A little of both. It's what works well for us for managing and keeping it small and intimate, because that's what people like. We at one time raised it up to 50, and it was too many people.
Yeah, you could just tell, right? Just tell that was the extra 10 was too many.
Yeah. So we want to keep it small, and it fits our budget fine. It's a great intimate gathering, and we have a lot of people who come back year after year. It's like it's the highlight of their year.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine. That's so cool. Jeff Brady from the Northwoods Writers Symposium, which is taking place at the end of May, May 28th through the 31st, there in Skagway. You can find out more information about all the faculty that Jeff just mentioned and find more information on the full schedule that was just released today and how to register. You can find all that out at NWWriters, with an extra S at the end, Writers, two S's, two W's, two S's, .com. And you can find out more about it there on the website, or just Google Northwoods Writers Symposium. And yeah, as Jeff mentioned, we'll have a longer conversation with A.M. and Ivy in the coming weeks as her new book releases, and we'll talk about the symposium and her career. We've had Bailey Williams on the show. We've had Mark Cameron here. It's really wonderful that all these writers are then going to be in one place and being able to impart their wisdom on to other writers and just generally be in the same space with everybody and being able to share all of their knowledge and have a great weekend there in Skagway. So, Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And Gwyneth Cheese for being here today.
Gwyneth Cheese, Boston, and hi to all my friends down in Juneau.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. Okay, bye-bye. All right, up next, Juneau Pools and their first sprint triathlon. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. But first, let's have a star party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosis with the Marine Track Planetarium. I'm going to talk about a planetary alignment. January and February of 2025, there'll be six and sometimes seven planets visible all at once on a clear night in the southern sky. The brightest will be Venus, which will be in the south when it's dark, and it's in the constellation Aquarius. The next brightest is Jupiter, has kind of a yellowish color, and it's in the constellation Taurus the Bull. And the next brightest will be Mars, which is in the constellation Gemini. In fact, it makes a line with the brightest stars of the constellation Gemini, Castor and Pollux. Now, if you have very dark skies, but most likely you'll need optical aid, it's also possible to see Saturn and Neptune, which will be close to Venus, but Saturn will be close enough to Venus that it will be damped out, so you'll have to look closely to see Saturn. Neptune is quite faint and you need optical gear, a telescope or binoculars for Neptune. Now, also near Jupiter will be Uranus, which on a very clear night is visible without optical aid, but most likely you'll need binoculars or a telescope to see Uranus. So on a clear dark night, it's possible to see the six planets, the brightest being Mars, Jupiter, and Venus, and Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn being somewhat fainter. But in February, it'll be possible to see seven planets because Mercury will also be visible then. This is Steve Kosis with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thanks.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Upcoming in April is the Diamond Dash, and here to share more about it, and we're going to figure out what this event is. We have Ellen Johnston from Juno Pools and Daniel Wiersma from Aukman. Gwyneth Cheese for being here today, you both. How's it going? Wasiyati.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here.
Of course.
Thank you so much for having us again.
Yeah, absolutely. This is so great. So let's first start out with, what is Diamond Dash? Ellen?
So we are offering an exciting new event this year. It's Juno Parks and Recreation in collaboration with Aukman Triathlon. And this is going to be a triathlon sprint, which I think Daniel can actually probably explain.
Yeah, when I heard about this, it said that it was going to be the Juno Pool's first sprint triathlon. And Daniel, my question was, what is a sprint triathlon?
So it's actually a super sprint triathlon.
Super sprint.
Super sprint. And it's a team relay. So the difference there is there have been sprint triathlons in Juno before, the APOA race several years ago.
Yep.
That had run for some time. Was a sprint triathlon that was based out of the pools. The difference with it is each teammate, and you do it in a group of three, each teammate does their own entire miniature triathlon.
Oh.
And then they hand off essentially a baton to a teammate, and once all three teammates have completed the event, that's your time for the event.
Okay, say that one more time. So each person has to do their own sort of mini triathlon?
Correct.
And what is that involving?
So that is a swim in the pool, but our swim is different. Instead of swimming back and forth in the pool lanes, you swim counterclockwise loops around buoys in the pool, almost like you're swimming in an open water lake situation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then you go out and you do essentially a mountain bike course for 1.25 miles. I say mountain bike because we do not permit road bikes for this event. and also because you're going through gravel trails and some mud and dirt and whatnot. It's all flat, but a road bike would not work well on the course. And then you do a half-mile run. So about 150 yards of swimming, 1 1/4 mile bike ride, and then a half-mile run. So these are all pretty accessible distances, we think, for most people. And then the next teammate does the same thing, the third teammate does it, and then you complete the event.
So you have a baton in your hand while you're doing this, or you have it in your shorts or something?
Slap bracelet.
Okay, because you said baton, and I was like, wait a minute. Like, I can't imagine if you're riding the bike, where's the baton going to go?
Or swimming.
Or swimming, yeah.
So one of the really exciting things about this event for me is that the team of three can be a mixed age team. So
that's,
it's something
yeah.
that parents can do with their kids. We have categories for youth, which is under 15, adult, which is over 15, and then, of course, the mixed.
Okay, that's really cool because I was going to ask, like, how old do you have to be? What's the minimum age?
Well, the minimum age is 10 unless you participate in our triathlon training camp. And kids who have completed that camp can do down to age 8.
I see. So I can imagine, Daniel, can you imagine like a group of like 3 10-year-olds doing this thing? That would be pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a great opportunity for them to, you know, compete against their aunties or, you
yeah,
know.
I know, right? Get your parents involved
exactly.
and go up against them. That's kind of
yep.
cool. Or like Alan said, you could do it together in the mixed category.
Yeah,
and
family of three could do it all together.
That's really fun. That's kind of cool. I like that a lot. That's amazing. And has this happened before, this specific kind of event where it's open to all ages?
Not that I'm aware of in Juneau and in very few parts of the U.S. or internationally is this type of event currently offered.
Okay. So, Ellen, why did Juneau Pools and the CBJ Parks and Rec Department want to put this together?
Well, Daniel came to us with the idea. We thought it sounded amazing. It was a really good fit for us with the facilities that we have to offer. The entire race will take place in the Diamond Park campus, and it's just very nicely situated for what this race requires.
I see. So it was Daniel's crazy idea to put this thing together. So how did you see this somewhere being done elsewhere and come up with it? Or was this kind of a thing that you were like, this sounds fun?
So the format is similar to the Olympics,
okay.
where you have, it's called the team mixed relay, where there are 4 participants, 2 male, 2 female, that compete for their country. And they follow essentially the same type of format, slightly different distances. But the big goal for us was to make triathlon accessible, both in terms of cost and training. And this was a great way to do it. And because it is a Parks and Rec program, because it is on CBJ property, it actually substantially reduces the financial burden on the individual racers.
I see. Okay, that's really cool. And again, we're talking about the Diamond Dash. It's sort of the first ever Diamond Dash. It's a super sprint event. It's going to be taking place on Sunday, April 27th. Registration opens in a couple of weeks on February 18th. Is that right?
February 18th at noon. There is an incentive to register by March 13th. People who register prior to that date will pay $60 for their team of three. So that's for the entire team. After March 14th, the price will go to $75 for the team of three.
Okay.
And then that includes the race, race medal, and we'll have food and refreshments for racers after they complete the race.
I love that. And so is each category going to go at this in their own time slot? Like, are we starting with the 15 and under and then the second group and then like the mixed category, or are they all doing it at the same time?
Everybody will be going at the same time, but it'll be wave starts.
I see. Okay.
So yeah. We anticipate that the entirety of the race will take about an hour and a half,
okay.
maybe a touch more.
Right.
Each person doing their leg will probably take about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes per person.
That would be aspirational for me, I think, for me personally.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that, I mean, it sounds so fun. It sounds so cool. And I did want to mention, because Ellen, you had mentioned, I think you had mentioned, that there is going to be a training opportunity. So if you are wanting to get your kids involved in this, you're going to have a training camp for kids before the event. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, the training camp will take place on Tuesday and Thursday nights between April 11th and April 24th. It will be for ages 8 to 15, and it's going to be an introduction to triathlon. Daniel can speak a little bit more about the specific camp programming, but before I pass it off to him, I will mention that registration for the camp is going to happen on February 11th at noon. And on February 13th, we will have a swim test to make sure you have to be able to swim 150 yards to participate in the camp. So that is three down and backs of the lap pool in the valley at Diamond Park Aquatic Center.
Okay. And you said that the website is now available for people to look at. Can we have the link for the website?
Yes. It's if you go to juno.org, Parks and Recreation, and then Diamond Dash, spelled D-I-M-O-N-D, -DASH.
Okay, great. And I'm sure that when did that went live, like today or yesterday or
something in that
zone, which means it'll eventually be fed into all the search engines, and you'll probably just be able to type in CBJ Diamond Dash in your search engine of choice, and it will pop up. Because I know sometimes the links for city and government websites get a little long, but basically go to CBJ Parks and Rec. I'm sure also you're going to be putting information on like the Parks and Rec or Juno Pools Facebook pages and things like that.
Absolutely. And then I think there'll also be information on the Aquaman page. Is that?
Yep.
And what's that website?
Just aquamantry.com.
Okay.
And we'll have links redirecting to the CBJ pages.
Okay, great. Absolutely. That's good. AquamanTry.com. And so, Daniel, before we end today, we're almost out of time, but can you give us just a little glimpse of what that training camp will be about?
Yeah, so the training camp is about teaching multisport. It's not so much teaching kids how to swim or how to bike, but how to combine the activities, what's involved in the transition between activities, what those feelings are in terms of how it changes your body position, and then just honestly enjoying it and engaging in sport in safe ways. So we'll also be working on like bicycle safety and trail safety and how to work out with others.
And it's great because it's sort of a way to kick off spring, right? It's a really great way to sort of get the body moving after the winter's over, get your kids involved, and do activities with your kids. As Ellen said, you can participate in this triathlon with your family, three people. You can choose or different categories that are available. It's the Diamond Dash coming this April 27th. You can find out more information at the Juno Parks and Recreation website, or go to aquamantry.com and you can find information there and links to the websites for registration. And there is the camp that's happening, the training camp for youth, which is taking place in April before the event, which is going to be kind of fun on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Ellen, Daniel, thank you so much for coming in. I love this, the super sprint, the sprint, the Diamond Dash. I love it. It's going to be so fun. That's going to be really cool.
Are you putting a team together?
we're out of time. we got to go. Thanks so much, Gunnar the Cheese, for being here today.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you. That's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Tonight begins the Alaska Theater Festival radio plays, and it continues through the weekend. Find out more at ktoo.org. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnar the Cheese, and have a joyous Juno weekend.